This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilger.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
Now, in this seminar format, I'm going to teach for about 35, 40 minutes the first session, and then we'll break. Everybody said
for halftime.
Yeah, we're going to break for halftime, and that halftime we'll receive the offering, and then we'll go for the final session. You don't want to ever leave at halftime.
Amen.
The last Super Bowl showed you that.
Come on,
if you had left at the last Super Bowl, you would have thought one other team was going to win. Amen. All right, John chapter 11. Give me my 40 minutes on the clock. Y'all got me a little bit too much time. John chapter 11. We'll pick this story up. This is the story of Jesus, of course, ministering to the sisters of Lazarus after he passed away. Let's pick it up at verse 17. It says, "And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." Lazarus had been dead 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Even now. Everybody say even now, even now. Now this teaching has to do with how to get yourself into a place of what I call victorious faith. I'm often asked about my faith walk. We've been walking by faith right about 37 years. I'm often asked about it, and I try to be as transparent as I can when I talk about walking by faith, because I think giving people a balanced look at faith and understanding the faith fight will cause them to have the stamina to fight the fight of faith. And not give in, not quit so quickly, or have a misguided understanding of faith as though faith is magic, and it's not. It's a fight. That's what the Bible calls it, a fight. And so things don't always work out in faith like you want them to initially. And a good amen, go right there. Amen. Now, even now, faith is about a position that you are in faith, where you are choosing to stay committed. That's in the story of Mary and Martha. The sister saying, "Lord, we wanted you to be here when we first sent the message to you that our brother was sick. And since you've been his friend all along, we never thought you would take this long coming. We never thought our brother would die, and we would have had the funeral and you not even show up being his best friend. But even now," you see the commitment she's saying. She says, "But even now, though I have faced a disappointment, even now I'm in a place where I thought I would not be in, even now I'm still trusting God."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about this even now commitment. What do you do when you have been in faith for something and it didn't work out? I guess y'all don't know nothing about that, huh? What do you do when when the matter at hand that you're standing in faith for is worse than before? You've been praying for a good report, and the report from the doctor comes back worse than ever. What do you do? What do you do when your mind has been flooded with doubts and impossibilities, when at one time you were, you know, anchored in this believing faith and God can do anything? What do you do? Well, these are some what I call very real moments of faith. It's part of the faith fight. And if you don't realize it, you're going to think something wrong with you in this moment where you're at the crossroads. And so I want to teach you today about this so you'll understand this. And in those areas where you are still standing in faith, you haven't had your breakthrough yet, that you don't give away your faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is about edifying you and building you up. And then, of course, in the second part of this, I'm going to talk about being spiritually strong, how you get spiritually strong so that you can endure, so that you can have the stamina to hold fast to your confession and profession of faith. So then, this even now commitment is only, everybody say only. Even now faith is only when the decision has been made to hold fast in faith. See, even now is not I'm wavering. Even now says I'm still in faith. Look at the person that says I'm still in faith. I'm still in faith. Yeah. I have not received the manifestation, but even now, I'm not throwing my faith away. Amen. Even now, I am still as committed in faith as I was before because I know something. Everybody say I know something. All right, now, so this is about trusting commitment. This is about a tried commitment because, you know, when you're going through these times when you're believing God for something that hadn't come to pass yet, I mean, that's when the devil bombards your thought life, and that's when the devil tells you you're not going to get it. That's when the devil tells you that's nothing to that faith stuff. That's when the devil tells you you've been wasting your time. You could have kept your money. Praise the Lord. You understand? I mean, so, and when you make it to even now, that means what the devil tried to do didn't work. And you're still trusting. Everybody say, I'm still trusting. So it is a trusting commitment. It is a tried commitment. Watch this. It is a tactical commitment. We're going to talk about that because it's a tactical commitment. In other words, I know what I need to do to get the victory. So I have a strategy, and we're going to give you a strategy. And then finally, it is a tenacious commitment. And that is, man, you are fired up about what you believe in God for. Amen. I didn't get a lot of amens on that one. All right, I'm still in my introduction, so let's see if we can move further in this. Go over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and 1, because in this first lesson, you know, I have only two major points, is the even now faith perspective. Let's look at this even now, and you'll see whether or not you are in an even now or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still believing? Praise the Lord. Are you still in faith? Amen. Are you still in faith? Are you still trusting God for what you've asked him for? Promised in the word, or he told you that in your heart, and you know what your assignment is. You know what God said he would do, even though it doesn't look like it. Are you still at rest? Are you still at peace? Are you still pursuing? Everybody say, even now, even now. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, so then the Bible says in all my getting, get an understanding. So what we want to do tonight is give you an understanding. And of course, in this atmosphere of the anointing, minister to your spirit so that you walk out of here stronger than ever before and more committed in faith than ever before, because you're at the point of breakthrough. Jesus. Hey, glory, shout by myself. The person that said, I'm at the point of breakthrough. Tell him, yes, I am. I am at the point of breakthrough. Amen. All right, watch this. Verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So it is through faith that the Bible says the elders, those are patriarchs of faith, obtained a good report. So the Bible talks about and teaches us about various kinds of faith. And what we teach mostly is what I call systematic faith, that what Jesus taught there in Mark chapter 11. But there's saving faith, faith that I get saved by. There is a surrogate faith when I use my faith on behalf of another. That special faith when God drops in my heart a supernatural ability to believe. And there's that special faith when I have that supernatural ability to believe. There's submission faith when I'm just out of obedience to a plan of God that I get results. But then Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 11 the system of faith. And that is what is available for every person. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. That's Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. But then we see a whole lot of other passages on faith over in Hebrews chapter 10. Will you go there now? Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we see there in verse 23, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Wow, that gives me kind of an idea that this faith is not magic, may not work overnight, that I've got to, you know, somehow or another, when it tells me to hold fast, it's telling me that I need to, you know, I need to be able to be focused. I need some sort of spiritual stamina to walk by faith. And then when you drop down to verse 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So when I'm looking at the passages on faith, I understand faith is not magic. It's a process. It's not magic. And I've got to be ready to work the process. Now go with your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, because the Bible lets us know that it is a fight. It is something that I have to put forth effort. It's something that I have to put forth effort on. Now, don't listen to any grace teacher that tells you don't have to put forth any effort. That is not true. Grace, when it comes to grace, and that's what got a lot of people confused, but when it comes to grace, grace is the unmerited favor whereby I gain righteousness. I gain the righteousness without my worth, without my value, without having to do anything for it. Jesus, by his grace, gives me access to the promises of the righteous. He gives me access to the promises of the righteous, but I still have to obey God. I still have to operate the principles in the Word of God. So, you know, the extreme teaching on grace that a lot of people have fallen for, and they're still not going to get any results, I don't care what to say, you know, is that I don't have to do anything. Well, if that's the case, you didn't do it right in the first place and you still don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? If you've been off all this time and you didn't have to do what you did, well, you ought to have something. But you still don't have anything. Amen. So, and then when you look at all of the proven faith teachers, proven men and women of God, you can see that they'll tell you, no, we thank God for his grace and favor. By his grace, I'm a righteous person. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done. Yeah. Amen. By his grace, I hold on to my righteousness. Because it was not by works that I achieved it. It was the gift of God. Yeah. Amen. I've been teaching it all along, you see. All along. But see, many times when a person hasn't had the victory that they wanted by faith, they got to blame somebody. Yeah. Amen. So then they want to blame the teacher. Or they want to blame the teaching. But the bottom line is, you got to throw away all of the Bible when you tell me I don't have to obey. Amen. You got to, I don't even need the Bible. If all I do is get saved and God just going to bless me anyhow, I don't need the Bible. Right. And some grace, he says, you don't even have to pray. Oh, no, y'all have heard that. But I got to throw away asking and shall be given.
That's right.
You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Amen. So I understand now that there is an effort that I have to put forth. And it's not self-effort as much as it is a faith effort. Everybody say faith effort.
Faith.
Yeah, I got to put forth faith effort. I can see that. Now, in the process, and I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. In the process of living out the faith process, I will reach a crossroads. I reach a time where what I wanted to happen has not happened yet. I meet your point in my faith where I'm a little discouraged because I didn't think it was going to take this long. And I watch somebody else get their needs met, watch somebody else arrive above and where I thought I would be. And if I don't watch it, I'll throw away my faith. I will not win the faith or the fight. So where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy? Huh? Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. I didn't read it to you. I want to read it. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So it tells me I lay hold by this faith fight. And what's at stake in the faith fight is my faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter. Some of y'all didn't even go. Y'all just said, I ain't going to make a trip. I'm over here. I'm going to stay right where I am because he's coming this way. I don't blame you. I ain't no problem with him. I ain't mad with you. All right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, underline the word fiery darts there, the words fiery darts, because that's talking about thoughts. My bombarded with thoughts to try to pull me out of my faith. Thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Thoughts that this is not going to work. I remember when I first began to embrace faith 37 or so years ago. I mean, you know, I'm coming out of tradition. You know, I'm really coming out of tradition. And, you know, what I was reading in the Bible, I'd never read before because really, you know, we were in more of an evangelical church type situation where we just want to get folks saved. Praise the Lord. Want to get them saved. And almost every lesson, every sermon was about Jesus dying on the cross. He died, didn't he die? He died, didn't he die? And you get saved, you're going to miss hell. And really, it was until you died, you're going to go through hell here on earth. And wasn't a whole lot you could do about it. Now, faith was telling me that I could receive the promises of God. I could walk in the abundance that he died for. And that was so foreign to me. That was new to me. And so I was under this constant bombardment of the fiery darts, which are thoughts. And this is not going to work. It ain't going to work. This is new. This is not going to work. You know, this is false doctrine. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And I had to fight through that. Amen. Some of y'all in the midst of that right now. You got to fight through it, you know. I heard preachers tell me in the denomination I was in, oh, man, that stuff don't work. That stuff that Fred Price did, that stuff don't work. When I don't know why I'm going to listen to you, you broke like me. Amen, amen. So there is the crossroads that you get to when you're under the spiritual attack that will determine whether or not you're going to persevere and stay in faith or whether you're going to be victimized by the fiery darts. It's that point in time, whether you're, no matter what it is, whether it's believing for a new house, believing for a new car, believing for a child, believing for, your health, believing for a promotion, believing for prospect, whatever it is, there's that moment, those are those moments when the devil comes to talk you out of it because he knows once you understand faith and once you understand this process, a whole nother world opens to you. Yeah. And he wants to keep you from that promised land. Amen, amen. So now when we walk through scripture, we can see that the even now moments are clearly documented in scripture where people had to press beyond their normal situation. They had to press beyond the attacks of doubt, press beyond a place where they thought they would never be to get the promises that were promised to them. Now, what makes this important? Because I have to understand this is just part of the process. That's just part of the process. I don't know why the devil fight me so hard. Fights everybody. Well, fights everybody. Amen. Now, but many times, the faith teachers are not as transparent, I think, as they need to be so that you can understand we fight too. Amen. And I'll tell you in a minute. I'm going to tell you in a minute why we're so cool in the fight. Amen. See, pastors ask me all the time, you act like you don't ever have any problems. You act like, you don't be on the front line and not get shot at. Trust me, you don't be on the front line and not constantly get shot at. But I've understood how to have even now faith. Amen. Even now, still believing. Even now, still trusting. And I have, I understand how to flick off the fiery darts with the shield of faith. Yeah, yeah. So let's see if we can walk through the Bible and you get some encouragement from Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was in a position where he never thought he would be. He's totally surrounded by an enemy they could have wiped out. And he says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Even now, we believe we can be victorious. The Shunammite woman, you know, God blesses her with this child, this desire of her heart, and the boy dies. And she could go, well, you know, I just can't thank the Lord. I just had him as long as I did. But even now she said, no, God wouldn't bless me like this with this kid and then let the devil take him away like this. Even now, she said, let's go find that prophet. Even now, when the prophet is prophesying to the people of Syria, I mean, the famine is so bad, the drought is so bad that the people are eating their children. That's how bad it was, eating their children. It's real, real bad. They're eating pigeon dung. It's terrible. But the prophet gets a word, and he stands up and he declares that by tomorrow you're going to see a change. Now, there's nothing in the natural that he can understand. All he has is a word from God. And when he gives this word, there is a counterclaim that comes from the guy who's right next to the king, who says even if he could, you know, God could open windows in heaven, that wouldn't happen. But even now, he stood fast and firm and said, now you're going to see it, but you're not going to be able to enjoy it with everybody else. Everybody say, even now. Yeah, even now, we can walk through the Bible and see even now situations when Peter is in prison. He's been arrested. They've already killed James. And the church goes into prayer. Got it? They could have just said, well, you know, the Lord said that would be martyrs. So he killed James. Let's get ready for Peter's funeral. But in this even now faith moment, they believe for God to rescue Peter, and God does. Even now, I mean, in Jesus is talked to by Jairus, that his daughter is at home sick, and he believes that if Jesus will come and lay his hands on her, she would be healed. So Jairus is talking to Jesus. Jesus says, yes, let's go home. But on the way, the woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus, testifies for a long time. And then they come from Jairus' house and say, don't even bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus turns to him in this even now moment and says, be not faithless. Keep believing. Only believe. In other words, you may not be in a place where you wanted to be, or even thought you believed, but it's not over. Everybody say, it's not over. Three Hebrew boys never thought they'd be in the fiery furnace, but they were there. But even now, God can deliver them. So I'm trying to get you to see that throughout the Bible, there were people in uncomfortable situations that we call our heroes of faith. And what makes them heroes is they were not quitters. What made them heroes was that they had this even now faith, this tenacity to trust God even when things did not look well. Amen, amen, amen. Of course, I could go on throughout the scripture using really our text scripture. Mary and Martha never thought that they would see this Jesus. He's a friend of the family. Jesus is Lazarus' friend. Surely, if anybody's going to get healed, his buddy going to get healed. But he did. And Jesus comes on the scene. But one of the sisters has this spark of faith on the inside to say, even now, whatever you ask your father for, he'll give it to you. Amen, amen, amen. Our lives, Lady Bridget and I, our lives have been filled with even now moments where we had to choose to trust God in unfavorable situations. All right, when our church started 33 years ago with about 300 people, and we told them what God said on that September Labor Day weekend, and 277 walked off, Jesus. But even now, I'm going to trust God. Back then, even now, amen. Yeah, no, even now, back then, with only 23 folk. And boy, people who would tell you, I preached that Sunday to them 23, and people were looking at you and said, can he see anybody here? Even now moment, another even now moment. I remember, well, when it looked like we were not going to finish this building on the day God told me to dedicate it. I tell everybody, God don't always give you a date. He doesn't. And I tell preachers, if God don't give you a date, don't you tell everybody God did, because he don't have to back it up. But God gave me the date that he wanted to dedicate this building. And you say, well, why did he need to do that? You ask God when you get to heaven. Because I didn't ask him. All I'm going to do is obey. So I knew what the date was. I declared the date. We started planning for the date and working toward the date. And then when we got close to the date, it did not look possible. The week before we were supposed to come in, I had all the doors locked. I told the contractor, I told Brother Larry, don't let anybody in here, because if they see it, they're not going to believe it's possible. And I'm not changing the date. And we're going to have a big conference. Our October conference was to follow it. And I got to tell you, the fiery darts were amazing, were almost astounding. How the devil was telling me, oh, people will understand if you don't finish. But that's not what God said. God said, have it on that date. You know, if you don't finish, it's going to still be all right. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, why don't you cancel? You got enough time to tell folk that you're going to have it in the old building and it's going to be all right. They preachers, they understand. But even now, a week away, when I don't know how this thing is going to come to pass. And everything that could go wrong is going wrong. We chose to trust God. Amen. Amen. Even now, everybody say even now. Now, I'm only telling you this because I'm being transparent, because a lot of you are condemning yourself. You're downing yourself. You're doubting yourself because things haven't fallen in place like you want them to. And all the devil wants you to do is quit. He'd be happy if you just quit, because then you never experience that which God has prepared for you. I call it the barking dog. Y'all ever riding through, you know, the hood, and here come the dog, the barking dog, barking at your car. Now, what that dog gonna do with your car? Absolutely nothing. The dog's greatest joy is for you to stop. And when you stop, what does the dog do? Going away. I'm trying to get you to see that you're at a crossroad. And you can make your faith fight an even now moment by deciding, I am not going to quit. I am going to hold fast. I'm going to watch God bring me through this. Watch the promise of God manifest. Even now, we had an even now moment. Of course, I had an even now moment last year. I believe for a miracle. We was in Orlando. Man, my body's all racked with pain. I knew how to pray. I done laid hands on the sick. Come on now. I believe in miracles. Nothing's too hard for God. And when I realized that this thing was not going to miraculously disappear, that I wasn't going to get the miracle healing that I wanted.
Come on, Bishop.
That it wasn't going to be instantaneous, but it was going to be over time.
Yeah.
Well, even now. I mean, that's my approach. Okay, I understand. That the miracle way is not the only way to get healed.
Right.
It doesn't mean that God has forsaken me. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have to live with this thing for the rest of my life. Even now, I believe.
Amen.
Of course, y'all know I stand here today totally healed, stronger than ever. Hey, glory. Even now, moment. Even now, when our jet was falling out of the air. Woo. What year was that, Lady Bridge? You remember that? Huh? 2009. Been that long? Seemed like yesterday. That testimony fresh. Now, that plane was fire. The lights go out on the plane. And the engine guts goes off. We're at 43,000 feet. And that jet is falling out the sky. And the fiery dart says, I'm going to kill you tonight. Oh, the devil said, I'm going to kill you tonight. You go die tonight. Yeah. Boom, flashed in my mind the headlines. Bishop gets killed in plane crash. Even now, I say, I ain't dying tonight. We're going to talk about that a little bit, what you got to do in your even now moment.
Right.
But see, that's the moment now where I go, oh, I didn't think I'm going to end my life like this. Oh. But no, that ain't the time to holler. That ain't the time to scream. That is the time for you to believe in the stuff you've been preaching. Believe in the promise of the word of God. He says he satisfies me with long life. I ain't satisfied yet. I ain't dying tonight. Even now. Let me move on. Y'all just, yeah. All right. Now, so even now is a dynamic moment. Everybody say it's a moment.
It's a moment.
That's very dynamic. All right. It's dynamic because it's a moment of arrested emotions. In other words, that's the moments when I keep my emotions in check. The Bible says, watch this, set your affections. So I don't get emotional and throw away my faith in a moment of frustration. Amen. Or a moment of jealousy because somebody else got something you were believing for. It's a moment of, watch this, abandon excuses. See, and this is what a lot of people do because they care more about their image than winning the faith fight. So in the midst of it not looking like it's going to happen, then they go start giving God an excuse or excusing why it's not going to happen. Well, you know, you got to die with something. Well, you know, money ain't everything. So if I don't get the promotion, I don't get the... It ain't everything. You follow what I'm saying? And so in those moments, they come up with excuses that rob them of the next level experience. Excuses that, you know, where, you know, they're not able to discover the unexpected help that God has for them. Everybody say unexpected help. Yeah, unexpected, unscheduled help. Like when we had this building, man. You know what I mean? I could give all kinds of excuses. Well, you know how construction is, and you know how one thing and another. You know how inspectors are, and that is why we didn't finish. But it did. I told God, this your building. You can't finish it. Shame on you. I ain't giving no excuses. I'm going to do everything I can do. I told Larry we're going to do everything we can do. God's got to do the rest. And I never forget the inspector sat on that back row early that Sunday morning because we had to pay extra for the inspector to come out. And he told Larry, I saw Larry go back there and talk to him. And he said, you tell that preacher I never thought y'all would get this far on this building. I cannot issue a temporary occupancy permit, but you tell that preacher I ain't going to let nobody bother him. I ain't going to let the fire department bother him. I'm not going to let nobody bother him. Go on, have his church in the morning. Go on and have this conference next week, and then after it's over, we sit down and we talk about how y'all can clean up the rest of these things. Amen. Hey, glory. Hey. Look, person, I say, God does not need an excuse. It's a moment of what I call affirmed expectation. I reaffirm, I expect God to come through. I expect God to make a way. I expect to be walking in health. I expect, y'all understand what I'm saying? It's a moment when I have made the decision. That I'm not going to let the devil win in the attack. It's a moment where my thoughts become affirmed. So when you're under attack in a faith fight, your thoughts are under attack. Your thoughts about God, will God do it? Your tongue toward God is under attack. The devil wants your tongue. This is why you have to put pressure on your mouth, because your tongue really establishes. The Bible says you decree a thing, it'll be established to you. Your tongue activates spiritual things, activate angels. Your tongue aborts the satanic counsel and satanic efforts. And your tongue also allows you to take authority over things. So in your even now moment, your tongue is vitally important, what you say. That's why I say to some people sometimes, just shut up. Don't say nothing. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Just open your mouth and glorify God like Abraham did. Oh, praise the Lord. That's all you can say right now. Because if you say what you're thinking, you're going to throw your faith away. Amen. You're going to get God off the case. Amen. Look at the person and say, if you don't know what to say, just glorify God. Yeah. You don't know what to say, come on, just give him the glory. That's what you do. All right. your temperament about God is under attack. And that is, you have to have the decision to make to be very disciplined and understand, I'm not going to get in fear. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to in this moment of this even now moment, I'm not going to blow it. Amen. With my temper, I'm not going to lose my joy. And your trusting God is under attack. Your confidence in God, the devil wants to shake. He wants to shake your confidence in God. Oh, Bishop, I wish I could be like you. I wish I could have that kind of God. I just don't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm not special. I've been where you are. But I decided, even now, I'm going to trust God. Had a good faith coach. Amen. I've been coached by the best. Tell me, you better hold on. You better hang in there. You better confess that word. You better believe God.
Yes.
And I did. And it came through. And my confidence is not shaken in God, even in tough times.
Amen.
Y'all hear me say it all the time. God already knows what he's going to do. Amen. Look at the president and say, God already knows
what
he's going to do. Well, let's have us a God already know moment. Praise the Lord. He already knows. Now, let's take the last few moments that we have here in this. Boy, the time sure went fast, didn't it? I go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, this trusting element is really predicated on a scriptural fact. It says, all right, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at the progression there. I believe and I trusted after I heard. Everybody say after I heard. He says, whom ye trusted what? After ye heard the word of truth. See, after when I hear the word, trust rises. I have more confidence in God. Because there's a power in hearing this word. And that is my responsibility as your man of God. And that is the responsibility of every person who stands here, that we got to give you the word. I can't give you some fable. I can't give you something that's, you know, just sounds good. I got to give you the word, because the power for you believing and your trusting is in the word of God. And the Bible says, when I hear it, I can trust him. And when I trust him, I can believe. Amen? Now, faith possibilities, the even now faith possibilities, and that is you're on the brink of a breakthrough, a promotion, and you need to understand that moment when you decide that you're not going to quit, remember, that's the even now faith moment. It is not the moment when you are in limbo. I don't know what I'm going to do. The even now faith says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. I'm not backing off of what I believe for. I'm not backing away from the promise. Now you're in the even now faith moment. Before you make that decision, you still at the crossroads. I don't know what I'm going to do. You're not even now faith. Even now faith says, despite of what has happened, despite of what I've been through, watch this, I'm still trusting God.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Now, when I do this, I got to understand that I have adapted, watch this, a scriptural criteria for my faith. Everybody say scriptural criteria. Now here's the thing. When Jesus has resurrected from the dead and the disciples saw him, then they go to Thomas and say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Thomas, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nail, put my hand in that hole in his side, I will not believe. So Thomas's criteria for continuing to believe was that he had to examine Jesus. Jesus comes in, this is all in John chapter 20, but Jesus comes in, the door's being shut, he comes in and he says, Thomas, come on, examine me. Thomas does that, and Thomas began to shout, and then Jesus says, be not faithless, but believing. Because his criteria was wrong, he was out of faith. And Jesus says, I cannot let it be recorded that in order to believe in the resurrection, a person has to examine me. Wrong criteria. Because Jesus says, I'm not staying around. for everybody to touch me.
Amen.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Everybody say, stay with me. Stay with him. Now watch this. Here's the thing. Because my criteria has to be what the word of God says for me to set my will to believe.
Come on now, Bishop.
And a lot of people miss it because they got a flawed criteria. And that flawed criteria is based on something other than what the word of God says. And so they find themselves saying and believing, well, I cannot be prosperous because I don't have an education. I cannot be prosperous because, you know, I'm at a dead end job. I cannot be healed because everybody in my family died with this. See, the criteria is something less than what the word of God says. And so what I have to understand is my criteria, if I'm in even now faith position, is that I believe it because the word said it. I believe it because he promised it. Everybody say,
I believe it
because he promised it. And the Bible says, he says, I'll set before you life and death. Choose life. In the moment, in any moment in time, when you've got to make a choice, there's a life choice, there's a death choice. And he says, choose life so that both thou and thy seed may live. Because the choice you make becomes, has generational impact.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me? So I'm saying now that what I have to do now, I have to understand that the sovereign choice, God wants me to hold fast.
Yeah.
Amen. Go to John chapter 5. I'll wrap this up. John chapter 5. God wants you to hold fast. He wants you to be consistent.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's what he does. This steadfastness, this is a discipline with a determination to remain consistent even in the face of adversity and difficulty and even not knowing. Woo, hallelujah. Preach myself happy. Amen. So I'm going to be steadfast. I have a steadfast resolve, even though I have no camaraderie exhortation. I may not have anybody encourage me, but I'm going to hold fast. Everybody say, even now, even now. I may have no circumstantial evidence, but I'm going to hold fast. You got it? I'm not going to have a compromising excuse to get out of it. I'm going to hold fast. Like people say, well, the Lord has released me. No, the Lord didn't release you. You know, because people would always ask me, well, when you going to do Love City? You know, you've been talking about Love City for years. When you going to do Love City? I'm going to do Love City when the Lord says so.
Come on, man.
Man, it's been 10 years now. It's been 15 years now. Uh-huh. Well, where are you now? No, no, I'm just saying, you know, some people can't wait 20 days.
Yeah.
But even now, faith says, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know what he told me.
Yeah, that's right.
Never backed off. And God had never told me, well, son, thou hast been released. He never released me. I'm going to stand in faith. Hallelujah. Now, in John chapter 5, maybe I can just walk y'all through this because I can stay within my time because, you know, I want to stay within my time. Because this next session that I'm going to get into, and I just kind of give you a preview, I'm going to totally show you how to get strong. And and I'm going to lay hands on you tonight.
Amen.
For strength. Because I'm going to prove to you from the scripture about spiritual strength.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you from the scripture that spiritual strength, watch this, it is spiritual. It's not natural. And I'm going to show you from scripture that there is an empowerment that comes for spiritual strength with the laying on of hands.
Come on now,
amen, amen. I'm anointed tonight to lay hands on you.
Amen.
Okay, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up. Okay, John chapter five. There is the story of this lame man, and this lame man who's at the pool of Bethesda. Amen. And you probably heard this story read many times. Verse 2 says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent people, or impotent folk, of blind halt, with it waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. Everybody say he was there. Which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. He's our poster child for even now. Everybody say even now. Because this guy goes to the pool every day waiting for a miracle. Watch this and watch others get theirs because he can't get into the water quick enough. But still, he goes every day. This is almost the height of expectation. Though he's, now watch this. If he never saw anybody get their miracle, he wouldn't keep coming.
Come on now. That's right.
But he sees folk and he continues to come day after day. So here's my point. Number one, he was lame. Everybody say lame, lame. Yeah, he had an obvious condition that everybody could see that this man had a handicap and he was lame. Number two, he was laid. They brought him and they laid him and left him. Everybody say he was lame.
He was lame.
He was laid.
He was lame.
And he was left. Now he's left by himself. He can't get in the pool, but still every day, somehow or another, he's got the wherewithal. Take me to the pool. I know you can't stay there with me, but would you just take me to the pool? Maybe just he got encouraged by seeing others get in the water and get that miracle. But he said, I'm not going to stay home. Come on, take me, lay me, and leave me if you need to. But I want to go to the pool. Amen. And listen to this. Watch this. He was lame. He was laid. He was left. He was lacking. In other words, he didn't have the help he needed. But this is the good part I've been trying to get to. He was looked for. Jesus came to the pool and he was looking for that man. Out of everybody else who was at the pool, Jesus didn't go to all the porch folk. But he comes to this man who's been in expectation for a long time. Jesus. Amen, amen. Aren't you glad that he looked for you? See, that's shout material right there. He looked for you and he found you. Do y'all remember where you were when he found you? Your head wasn't like it is now, but he found you. Amen, amen, amen. And many of you, he didn't find you in church. He found you in the club. He didn't find you. Oh, are y'all listening to me? But thank God, watch this. He's looking for those who are in expectation and he's going to find you. Look, person said, he done found me tonight. He's found me tonight. I'm in expectation for my healing. I'm in expectation for my deliverance. I'm in expectation. Thank God I've been found. Woo! And he was lifted. He was lifted. God helped him. Jesus spoke to him. The words that he heard lifted him. Power hit his body and power made the difference. And that's what's going to make the difference in your life. I love the phenomena of divine appointment. Divine appointment when, watch this, Moses is just, think he's getting ready to put out a fire. And he steps on holy ground. It was a divine appointment. God calls him to be an emancipator. Gideon was just threshing wheat, hiding from his enemies. But it was a divine appointment that day when God called him to be a general. The boy thought he was just going to hear Jesus preach, and he had a lunch, two fish, five barley loaves of bread. He just thought he was going to hear the prophet, but that was a day that God was going to multiply what he had. The woman thought she was just going to the well to get some water one day, but somebody, the prophet, found her at the well. We're talking about Jesus. totally changed her life. So tonight, you thought you just coming to hear the bishop. But the good thing is that he's been looking for you. He's been looking for you. He's been looking for your expectation. He's been looking for your faith. And like the four men who persevered and did not stop trying to get their friend to Jesus, the Bible says, and when he saw their faith.
Yes.
Amen, amen. You made your way out here today. You fought the traffic. You fought all the thoughts of I can get the CDs. I can watch it online. You fought all of those to get in here. Amen, amen. And he's seeing your faith. Things about to change.
Yes.
They shall not remain as they have been.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Amen, amen, amen.
Yes.
Lady B, come on, come on.